Elzer Rav, Yisachar Daiv. When you would come to Tisha B'Av, you would say, Anacha Tisha B'Av, Anacha Tisha B'Av. Yisayim from Karlin. Yisayim from Karlin. And Tisha B'Av would come and he'd be on his way to Kinais. He'd say, how long is this day going to be in Golos for? How long is this Yontif going to be in Galus? It's already been 1,800 plus Tisha B'Avs. By now it's already more than that. The reason why I mention this, and I mention the name of the Tzaddikim, because we could say the same thing, is because when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shayer on the Tzaddikim. And it's not just them that we're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. Libi Omerli, the Ribono Shel Olam wants that it's his man to speak about Tzaddikim. See, Purim Ma'aseis, be ma'ayre the schus of the tzaddikim by mentioning their words, the sayis of David Vais Bakever. But by doing so, we remind the Ribbono Shel Olam that even when something is a mace, it's still really a chai. And even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's still alive. By connecting to the tzaddikim, to their holy words, and to their ma'asim, connecting to the Beis HaMikdash in a very real way. And so throughout the years that we've been coming together, Mashiach is in here tomorrow as well, Mitzvah Hashem. I have to mention stories of the Tzaddikim. To be Ma'ir the Yischus, Hashem Shana Rachmanos on us. By doing so, there's also a catch. Now, by remembering the schusim of the tzaddikim and remembering who they are, the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking at us, and he's remembering the way that the tzaddikim, those who knew what Tisha B'Av was about, and he's sitting and he's saying, come on, Rubenstein, what, do you think you know anything about Tisha B'Av? You know the first thing about Tisha B'Av. So I remember when the Maggid used to sit here and he used to say Devei Torah and he used to wail, he used to cry about Tisha B'Av. When you're sitting here, you're shuckling. It's 100% right. 100%. So the Pasuk says in Eicha, it says, Eini, Eini, Yordamai. Yirmiyahu Navi says that my eyes, that they, water just comes down. Eini, eini, yordamayim. It's not even called a dimma. It's just yordamayim. Just, he thought about the Beis HaMikdash, and just by thinking about the Beis HaMikdash, just water started streaming from his eyes. My Rebbe says, according to his Rebbe, says that any time in Rav Shitz, the Beis HaMikdash or anything about Mashiach is mentioned, it should bring tears to a Jew's eyes. That's just stam and Erlich Yid. We're not talking about great tzaddikim. We're talking about Erlich Yid. And if any 80 yard of mayim is not enough, Yirmiyahu Navi says, Haridi kanachal dimma yoyma v'layla. Imagine that. That my eyes will be like rivers of water day and night. Al titni pugaslach, al tidoin basinayach, without any cessation at all. Just straight. And we look at these psukim and we're like, what? Is this for real? Is this for real? Shlomo HaMelech counts 24 itim, 28 itim. Eis lehai, eis lisnai, eis lirkoid, eis lehai, eis mechama. And there he says, eis livkois, there's a time to cry. Rashi says, what's the eis livkois? Rashi says, zet Tisha B'Av. This is a very chiddush to Rashi, because on Yisrael, what Rashi is telling us is that every single Zman, every single Mayid, and we know even Tisha B'Av is a Mayid, has a Chetzah Shul Mitzvah. That in Sukkot we'll take a Lulav, and in Rosh Hashanah we'll take a Shofar. And Tisha B'Av also has a Chetzah Shul Mitzvah. And that's the tears. It's an Ace Livkos. So if we sit here and we talk about Churban Beis HaMikdash, and we sit here without any tears, so it's like sitting on Sukkot in the house and not in the Sukkah. So on the one hand, this Rashi is certainly a Chiddush. But on the other hand, it's mamash, such a shver Rashi. Such a shver Rashi. Such a difficult Rashi to be Makayim. Eis Livkos. This is the time to cry. And we're sitting here and we're like, okay, let's go. Eini eini yordamayim. And nothing. There's nothing. And we've had 3 weeks to prepare for this day. Moshe doesn't say to us, okay, I'm just going to throw at you a Tisha B'Av, get ready, everybody cry all at once. Right? There's a build-up, the Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, and Rosh Chodesh Av, and there's the 9 days, and there's the Shavua Shechal Boy, and we're getting closer and closer to the epicenter of the entire thing, and here we are. And Baruch Hashem says, okay, everybody to Zaman, let's go. Haridi Kanachal Dima. Shver Rashi. Shver Rashi. So the pasuk says, Bachai Tivka. The Navi says, cry. Cry a lot. Bachai Tivka. Double Lashon of Bechia. If we would have lost a loved one, we would cry. But this is more than a loved one. Bachay Tivke, whatever you would cry normally, you have to cry extra for this. And the tzaddikim will know how to do that. Certainly in the earlier generations, they knew how. Today there are fewer. And you know the story about the Jew who came to the Kaisel. Maybe he was a soldier, I forget already. And he came and he saw another kid crying there at the Kaisel. And then this ragged, he also started to cry. So he turned to him and he said, what are you crying about? What are you crying about? So he said, I'm crying because I don't know what to cry about. I see that there's something here to cry about. I don't know what it is. So I'm crying because I mamish don't know. And perhaps not Shan and Bachay Sivka. Bachay is like you should cry. But if you can't cry for that reason, then Tivka anyways, because you see that guy's Bacha, so you Tivka. Still can't cry for that. I can't even cry for the fact that I don't even know what to cry about. Ima, there's a baby crying upstairs. I guess he hears us. He knows what the cry is. So I thought to myself, maybe the reason why is because there's a makor dima. There's a root from which all dima comes from. So I tried to be menachem myself by saying, you know what? The reason why I don't cry is because, listen, it's been a very long time. Klai Yisrael, we ran out of tears already. We've cried so many rivers of tears. So there's nothing left to cry about. So I thought I would comfort myself with that notion. Then, of course, I told myself that that's just the Yitzhahara talking. Because I know that there are Yidden right now who are crying. I'm sure my Rebbe is crying somewhere. On a good day, he cries. And it's not something which is mamish of the past that we can't cry about it now, because the Gemara says, in every generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's as if it's charev now. That it's not something that's of the past, that we say that it was destroyed, the nukshayin. It's something which is alive, that the churban is alive. Chazal tells us that with each passing day, the klalos which come from no Beis HaMikdash comes even greater and even greater, which gives us more reason to cry about. The fact that we had Eretz Yisrael, that we could live there, and in a state which is mamish, filled with apikorsis. Those who wish to ignore the Ribbono Shel Olam and Torah and mitzvahs. And the fact that there are so many in who are assimilated. Not just that, but our own matzav. That we know who we are, we know what we do, we know what we're capable of doing. We cry over ourselves, really. Not just for the Tzara Shechina, that it sees its children in such a state, and in the world that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. It's mamash lehepech legamrei. So it can't be that we're just, the Mayan is dry. It's not the pshat. And I don't want to give reasons why we're not crying on the day of Tisha B'Av, where the din is so heavy that Chas HaShalom, there would be real reasons, Ki'idu Chalila, why we're not crying. Not that anybody's listening. But the truth is that we live in a world which is so much behester. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh teaches us, "Anochi haster asa panim mikem," and Hashem says, "I'm going to conceal my face from you. I'm going to double conceal my face from you." And that double concealment means is that it's one thing when we know that this is really all messed up, but when we don't know that it's crazy and it's not the way that it's supposed to be, that it's an olam hafach ra'isi. That's called haster aser panim. We mamish don't know. We don't know what it's supposed to be like. We don't know what normal means. We don't know what healthy means. We don't know what sick means. We're in a state of haster panim. With every passing day, the haster becomes thicker. And so we become more and more detached from what that truth is, what that emes is, what that healthy world is supposed to look like. That right now that the trees and the rocks and the streetlights, the whole Bria is shrine to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's like, this is the world which you want? Maisa Bereishis is telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is not the world you created. Why are we so sick? Why do you allow us to be like this? The world is a sick world without a Beis HaMikdash. It's in an unhealthy state. That this a world is supposed to be with a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash isn't just an edifice, not just a building. It means the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence in this world. Shechina has a dira b'tachtonim, yismach Yisrael b'maisav, yismach Hashem b'maisav. But we're so used to it. We went to school and we read about the history books We learned history. And there was a little bit of Jewish history in there also, but we learned about Roman history, we learned about Greek history, we learned about the Stone Ages and this and that, and we think that that's normal history. This is like the history of the world. This is like how the world goes. It's not the world. This is an unfortunate, painful history that there's been so many thousands of years we've learned about in history, and we could sit in those classes and be like, well, this is interesting information. This is the history of the world. And we're like, when we wake up one day and we're like, this is tragic. Can't believe there was a world like this, that people were living like this for so many thousands of years. And we thought, like, okay, this is American history, this is the world history. There's only one thing to know about history, is that there was everything which is in the Torah. That there was an Avraham Avinu, there was a Yitzhak, there was a Yaakov, there was a Shvatim, there was a Shivim Mosem, Hashem took us out, there was a Moshe, he took us to Har Sinai, gave us the Torah, and we came in Eretz Yisrael, we built a Beis HaMikdash, and then it was destroyed, and then there's been just gullus. That's the world history. Everything else is just commentary. But we're mamish, we're shikr. We're sleeping. The gullus has done such a good job to just... We take to be normal, like I've said so many times. Like you come to Eretz Yisrael, and we come to the Kais Maravi, and we show up there, we're like, oh, we're finally here. And we go to the Wailing Wall, and we turn around, and we take pictures, and we're smiling, and all the Chinese people are there with their hats, and everything is just like so nice. This is the place where the whole world comes to see the Wailing Wall. It's one of the wonders of the world. We're so desensitized. The Chazon Ish came once to the Kaisel and he couldn't go back again because he says, how can I come to this place? How can I come see this Churva? How can I come see the Beis HaMikdash and its destruction? It's not just a wall. It's not just a wailing wall, something from which is a miracle which is standing. This is Mamish Churban. And to see the mosque over there like that, our eyes should bleed from seeing such a thing. And it's just like, it's just background now. It's just like, it's in the background. It's just how it is. You take a picture, you take a picture of the Kaisel, and then there's the thing in the background. It's the biggest Chil Hashem in the world. And it should wrench our hearts every time we see it. But this is just world history. It's how things went. Do we have to tear Kriya today? Do we not have to tear Kriya when we come? Is it within 30 days? Maybe it's Erev Shabbos, is a Kula, we don't have to. If we understood, we would be tearing our flesh if we knew what Churban Beis HaMikdash meant. So really, even the Bachai Sivka like that, I don't think I can't do it. I just can't do it. Maybe if I saw a tzaddik crying, I'd be able to be more air, but... I'm going to call upon the Tzvi Hirsch from Rimanov tonight. And it's supposed to this holy tzaddik of Tzvi Hirsch from Rimanov. He knew about Churban very well. He lost 13 children in his lifetime. 13 children in his lifetime. Maybe it was more, maybe it was 17, I don't remember. Lost every single one. Like it's like Rabbi Yechon and the Gemara. He lost children left and right. So many churbans that he had in his life. So it was one thing by the keynotes on Tisha B'Av, like we're sitting in now. And there was a Yid who was sitting there with the Rebbe, and he threw some type of a pillow across the room. It says, of course, Ashkacha had it, that it went straight into the, straight into Tzvi Hirsch from Rimanov, right into the Rebbe. So of course, this Yid who now sees the pillow that he threw in the lap of the Rebbe, so he was very tzibrachim that he threw a pillow at the Rebbe, which is, I guess, appropriate on the day of Churban Beis HaMikdash, throw things at the Tzaddik, throw things at the Beis HaMikdash. Tzvi Hirsch wanted to be Menachem him, and he says, L'chayra ainu muvan. Ainu muvan klal. We can't understand at all mashinoyigim tzas bekalus kaze itzav hakinos. We can't understand how it is that somebody should take something and throw it at a kinos. How could that be such a thing? Mashilu asu kein b'doyer sakadmoinim. This probably never happened before. So he said, "Ach efsha, perhaps the inyan who was tightening up the throwing of the pillow now. Perhaps the inyan is shekevan shizman haketz who nenter vayveiter. Since the zman of the ketz, we're moving closer to it. Moving closer to the ketz. We're moving closer to the geula, and farther away from the churban. Uvekara vihi geula. And since the geula is going to be so soon." L'chein in margishim kol kach b'chayzik es havelis. We're not margish so much anymore the havelis. But then he said, Hashem Yisburach, yazor lana v'karev b'gu'ula shleim. I couldn't say this. I knew it before he said it, before I knew that he said it, but I couldn't say it. I felt like I couldn't say it. I say the words of the Holy Tzaddik here to me, Melamed Tzchus. To me, Melamed Tzchus on us. We're very close. We're very, very close. We could taste it. Ribbono Shel Olam, you know we could taste it. You know there's a Baal Shem Tov already. You know there was Shabbos already today. And fell on a Shabbos Chazon, and we didn't do any of those things. We didn't do any of the things that the Ramah wants us to do. We didn't do it. And that's because we're so close. It's a Tayameh Chayim Zachu. How could you do those things when you taste on this Heilig Shabbos, you could taste the Rav Lach Shabbos and the Eimek HaBachar? How could we? That's what you want us to do. You don't want us to do that. And then a Moitzi Shabbos coming off of a Shabbos Chazon like this, of the Rav of Shabbos HaBacha, were expected to go from Shabbos into this place. There wasn't even a Suda HaMafsekes. Suda HaMafsekes means like you're entering into the world of Tisha B'Av. Like you're mafsek what you had before and now you're going in. We just had a Shalosh Shuddas. It was Rav at the Raven. We said, Mizmor LeDavid Hashem Rei LeEchzar. What are we lacking already? So we're sitting here on the floor and we know there's something to mourn about and we don't have the tears and we don't know what it's about. But you know better than us that it's so close. Perhaps we're tasting a little bit. Not just to make us feel good, but because it's true. Zeis ve'ayd. One other thing. And that is, we have to go back to the roots of why we're crying already. The roots of all this goes back to the Meraglim, that very first Tisha B'Av. When the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael and they saw a very good land. They saw a very good land. And they came back and they told the Yidden, Eretz Yisrael is Yisrahi. It's all a trap. We were better off in Mitzrayim. Hashem Baruch Hu says to them, he says, what are you doing? And then all the Yidden were crying. And they were crying. And the Baruch Hashem says, what are these tears for? This is the Bechiyah Shel Chinam. It's Bechiyah Shel Chinam. It's meaningless tears. You're crying for nothing. You're crying for nothing. Eretz Yisrael is right there. It's an Eretz Toivu Rechava. It's an Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. And you're crying for what? Mamash for nothing. Your tears are for nothing. And the fact that in the roots of all of the crying that we cry on Tisha B'Av is a Bechiyah Shel Chinam comes to tell us that really all the Bechiyahs throughout all the Doros are Bechiyah Shel Chinam. And especially that in the same way that Eretz Yisrael was right around the corner, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, why are you crying for it? It's a Bechiyah Shel Chinam. Just go right there. You'll be right in Eretz Yisrael. You'll see everything I'm telling you is true. They were so close and they should have known that, let's just go and see. So too, the Gula is right around the corner. And at this point, we don't know what it means to be Samikdash. We don't know why to cry. We don't have the time to cry. So we asked Rabbi Shalom, and we're saying, if we don't know what to cry for, it's because in the Shirish, there's really nothing to cry for. We're not crying because in the Shirish, what is there to cry for? The table is already set. We just bring us into the room. And if you want us to cry, then give us the Bechiya Shekhinah. Give it to us. If it's truly Bechiya Shekhinah, then give it to us. We want to cry. It's Chinam to us. We don't know what to cry about. But if the whole Bechiya is a Bechiya Shekhinah, then let's do it. Let's cry it. Perhaps really Lani Astaiti. Now we're going to see. When we come to that place, and the Rosh Hashanah finally says, Ad Kan, coming in, the Shekhinah is going to be Patachtain, and everything's going to be good. We're going to see the Mafreya truly that everything was a Bechiya Shekhinah. It was always good. That every time we said a Dynamis, it should have already been a Hatayva Meitiv. All the Bechiyas are going to be Bechiyas Shekhinahs. They're all going to turn into Bechiyas of laughter. Laughter. Hashem is going to be mamtik all the tears. And that's really the root of the Nechama. Already by next week, Shabbos, it's going to be Shabbos Nachamu, and we're going to be tasting that Nechama. But that Chinam is associated with that Nechama. So therefore, that Bechiya Shel Chinam, that Chinam is going to turn into Nachem. From that place of Chinam is going to be that Nachem. And that's the Shabbos Nachama. Just to turn those letters around a little bit. But from that place of Nachem, that place of Chinam is going to be that Nachama. So we're going to read the Eicha, because the Rosh Hashanah wants us to. And although I'm going to probably say it and I'm not going to have the tears, Rabbeinu Shlomo should be mekabel it. We should kabel it as a Bechiya Shel Chinam. We're mekash ourselves with all the tzaddikim hatoshim who know what to cry about. So we're not going to pretend that we do. And I'm not going to pretend that I do. Shabbat should help us that all these kinois and these eichas, that he should go to the right places, that he should do what he wants with them. It's been over 1,800 of them. Yet still it's not enough. Shabbat should say, to be able to offer true tefillah to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, with his goyel tzedek, and here in the morning.